Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In Scarfolk, England, citizens are expected to schedule workplace accidents at the convenience of their employers. They also pay a gravity tax and enter a lottery to win the right to be acknowledged as human. All of these cultural quirks are meticulously archived on the town council website in faded 1970s pastels. For instance, one leaflet explains the physics tax from 1975 and reads, "As you know, gravity is supplied to you not unlike gas, electricity, or water. Creating, maintaining, and distributing the forces of physics is an expensive national undertaking, and the cost of running the gravity generator plant in Scarfolk costs millions of pounds annually." Sound dystopian? Orwellian? Well, luckily, it is. Scarfolk is a creepy work of fiction, but perhaps the most unnerving thing about it is the parallels it draws to our own world. Richard Littler is writer and designer and curator of the Scarfolk Council blog, an archive of England's most upsetting town that never existed. And Richard, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello, Virginia. Thank you for having me.
So how did you get this idea of starting an archive of a fake town?
You know, I was hit 40 and I was trying to remember my early childhood. I'd read that people's memories are no longer their memories after a certain age, and they're sort of remembering a recollection of a memory of a memory. So I thought I'd try to build up as many memory fragments as I could of the early 70s. And I quickly realized that it's impossible. It's too fragmented, and your brain tends to fill in the gaps with who you've become. Everything becomes colored by who you are now. So I embraced the fictional aspect of what I could do with that.
Well, you grew up in Manchester. Was that a scary place where they had a gravity tax?
They didn't have a gravity tax, I must admit. I kind of made that up.
How about a thought detector van or a dream recording machine?
Oh, we did have thought detector vans. That is based in reality. We had TV detector vans. They would allegedly drive around suburban environments, checking to see whether you had a television or not. And then they would knock on your door to ensure that you had a license. And everyone was terrified of these vans. And no one was entirely sure whether or not the technology actually worked. But it certainly scared a lot of people.
Well, it sounds like a scary place, Scarfolk.
It is. Yeah, it is indeed. It's very unsettling.
Well, it also is written as an archive, and the town is pretty much perpetually trapped in the 1970s. So why that decade?
I suppose it's quite for personal reasons. I had so many fragments that I couldn't quite piece together. It just seemed a great time to base it. And also in the UK, it is considered to be a very strange, dark decade, politically, but culturally as well. It just seemed to fulfill all the criteria.
Well, we see on your blog, a faded and creased itinerary. This is from the Summer Fete, 1976. There's a puppet show at 11:30. There's an egg and spoon race. And then at 2:10, a terrorist bombing.
Yes.
So what was the process for you? Did you actually go back to old archival material for these PSA messages?
Oh, yes. I have an enormous, over the last 2 or 3 years, I've picked up an enormous amount of images. I have around 30,000 reference images in my folder. I'm constantly making sure that my images and texts are, you know, referencing something that happened in the past at some point or another. And this happened to us a lot. We had a lot of terrorism in the 1970s from the IRA. So you would have children's television programs quickly followed by a news report on a terrorist bombing, and then a public information message about drowning. So everything was juxtaposed very strangely.
Oh, that's terrifying in a little brain.
It is. It is.
Well, the graphics on the blog look shockingly like real relics from the 70s. Do people think it's real? Do they write to you and say, "Where did you find this?"
Yes, I mean not as much now because some people recognise the logo and the name, but certainly when I first started, a lot of people thinking they were genuine. Again, because the 1970s, you weren't really sure what people really thought. There were a lot of unusual cultural beliefs and ways of doing attitudes. So it does make it believable in some way when it's very extreme.
There are also covers of paperback books for adults and for kids, a series for kids. And there's a toy, it's called Mr. Liverhead, which sort of looks like Mr. Potato Head, except it's a liver as a head with little things stuck onto it. And I have to ask, after seeing a picture of this on the website, did you actually create one and then photograph it?
I went through a lot of siblings trying to get it right. no, I never did, actually. But it just seems a logical next step. I mean, I think that's what Scarfic is. It's reality just nudged a little bit over the edge.
Well, there are a few recent posts that seem to reflect the current nationalistic mood that led to the Brexit vote. I'm thinking of the foreigner identification badges. They look like mm-hmm. little scouting badges, but their titles are Believer in a Non-English Speaking Deity or Foreign Visitor from an Ex-British Colony. Should it unnerve us to see reality reflected in a place like Scarfic?
I hope so. I hope that people will compare and contrast the attitudes we have now to the attitudes we had in the 70s, which were very outmoded. And it's interesting to see how far, if at all, we've developed. We have been living in a very absurd world at the moment. So a lot of my stuff, particularly recently, has touched on that.
Yeah, people seem to want stickers and T-shirts of this.
They have. We're trying to build towards that. And I hope that we'll be able to do something. But there's also always the danger of things being taken out of context, which you don't want.
Right. The Pepe the Frog would be an example.
Exactly. So you have to be careful. But yeah, it is something we would like to do.
Well, you are now working on a TV show. Is it based in Scarfic?
Yes, it is. A company called Retort Productions in England, who have a tradition of doing comedy, have taken the optioned the rights for film and TV rights for the blog and the book. So we're in the early stages of development with that.
So are you envisioning what Scarfic would look like in 3D?
Yes, I have thought about it a lot. And of course, to me, it just looks like the inside of my head, as it always does. But it's some things, when you suddenly realize that they might actually be living, moving things, they might need some amendment and some adaptation because they're quite unusual.
There's a lot of paranormal going on there, too. Was that present when you were growing up?
Very much so. There was a very strange attitude in Britain in the 1970s. Supernatural and the paranormal was ubiquitous on television and in children's books. And often there wasn't much of a differentiation between the two. You know, poltergeists would be presented as fact on the news. And all interested in the UFO culture, of course, and Loch Ness Monster. And it was all presented as fact a lot. So to a very young mind, you know, it all mixes together.
So the blog, the Scarfic Council blog, is trapped in the 1970s. Have you moved out of there, Richard?
Have I moved out of the 70s? I will always have a foot in there, I think. I think so. I mean, I literally have moved. I don't live in England anymore. I lived away from England for at least 15 or 20 years now, which gives it a whole different perspective. You know, I have expat syndrome, so I can reimagine the England of the past quite freely.
Well, Richard, thank you very much for speaking with us.
No problem at all. Thank you much for having me.
Richard Littler, he is a designer, writer, and the curator of the Scarfic Council blog. It's an archive of England's most upsetting town that never existed. And you can find a link to see it for yourself at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. ¶¶